ప్రేమస్వరూపులారు,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sairam from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. Yes, in spite of whatever is happening outside, Prashanthi continues to be the most happening place because it is this place that connects you to something which gives you that strength to be unruffled. It gives you that power to be steady. It gives you that solace in the midst of sorrows, no matter what is happening all around us. And that is the reason why Prashanthi will always be the most happening place on the planet. I remember just yesterday I got this beautiful message from a Sai brother from Nepal. Now, as a lot of people are going through difficult times, there was this brother who was in the isolation room and he was struggling hard to reach the aisle where his mother was waiting for him. Mother wanted to see him and they were exchanging helpless glances from a good distance. He could see mother was speechless. There were tears brimming in her eyes. Definitely, which mother will not be in agony to see the son in isolation? The situation in the country had become a little difficult, especially in the capital in Kathmandu, and thousands were affected. Hospital beds were full, and even as all this was happening and he was feeling that pain that he's not been able to do much of Swami's work because he himself had to be isolated. Just then a telephone ring happened, and this was a nagging telephone ring, and he picked up the phone, and on the other side of the line there was this person who called him as Dai. Dai in the Nepalese language means brother. And he said, Dai, I heard Satya Sai organization is helping COVID patients find hospital beds and oxygen. My mother is very critical. Please help me. Please tell your Sai Baba to save my mother. And it was the voice of a teenage girl. She was speaking and she was breathless. And you could feel the pain that she was going through as she was pleading and seeking for support and help in this hour of her need. And this brother, who was himself fighting with the unseen enemy, he was getting even more depressed that here is someone who needs help and I am so helpless. I myself are not fine. How am I going to help this sister? And this sister has called me with so much hope. And doesn't matter, he just replied saying, don't worry sister, you pray to Bhagavan, he will respond and we will do our best and we will get back to you soon. Don't worry, your mother will be fine. So he just spoke to her with all the loving and encouraging words that you can give to someone in that state. And this brother then looked towards Bhagwan's photograph hanging on the wall. It was a photograph where Bhagwan had raised both his hands, blessing. It was the hand of blessing, the Abhaya Hasta, but both his hands were raised in Abhaya Hasta. And he looked at this photograph and this brother said, "Swami, you have to save this girl's mother. Look at her faith on you. She called asking for support, placing all her faith on Satya Sai Baba. You will have to come to her rescue." And this brother says, a few minutes later, his phone rang again. And now it was a cousin of his own who asked, "How are you? Do you need any medical help? Are you recovering well? You need anything, just let me know." And this cousin was a senior army officer. And immediately the Sai brother told this cousin, "If you want to help me, then I just need this. Can you arrange one bed for this girl's mother? She just called and she is so distraught. If you want to do anything for me, do it for this girl." And the cousin who worked in the army said, "You know, there were no beds. There are no beds. Nevertheless, let me try. I will get back to you." And the very fact that he said, "I will try," gave some hope to this brother. And in 2 minutes, the cousin called back again. And now his voice was jubilant. And he said, "You know what? Send her immediately. Send her immediately to the army hospital. Just 5 minutes ago, one patient was discharged. And now we have kept that bed for her." And this brother just broke down. Just now he had prayed to Bhagwan. And look at the instantaneous manner his grace pours. And Swami was saying, "See, you prayed for me so selflessly. And you see, I am there. I am always there." As I narrate this, there are so many such stories that we are flooded with day in and day out. As the Sai brothers and sisters, former Sai students, dynamic Sai youth, brothers and sisters from different states of India, from different parts of the world, who are so silently, so solidly reaching out to all those who are in need. I know each one of us is doing the same. A Sai devotee in Bangalore yesterday I was speaking to was sharing how she took up this initiative in her company to ensure that everyone who needs support in her organization is given. So anyone who fell sick, she organized that someone in her neighborhood would go and support this person who needed help. Many times in the cities, people don't even want to ask for help. People feel shy to ask something from someone. But it's a different thing when you yourself go forward and say, "I came to know you're not fine. Can you please tell me if there's anything that I can do to make your life a little easy in these difficult times?" So everybody is doing that. And everybody is getting that extra inspiration, that extra energy, that extra love to do that, because they have been touched by that infinite love that is Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. And in the coming weeks, we would definitely want to share with you many such stories, many such heartening tales, many such inspirations, the flights of people's selflessness, the heights of people's outpouring of compassion. And it is happening so silently. So many brothers and sisters in Tamil Nadu are serving food to all the people who are affected and who are isolated. It is happening in Andhra. It is happening in Orissa. It is happening in the north. It is happening in Kerala. It is happening in Gujarat and Maharashtra. And these are the stories. These are His glories. We often ask, why did this happen? We often question, how come this is happening? Where is Swami? Because there is Swami, this is also happening. And this wave is actually much bigger. Just that it never gets talked about. Just that it never gets the headlines. For every one person who is sick, there are three persons who are reaching out. There are so many people who are helping. And there are so many people who are doing it so silently. There are so many people who are just sitting and praying every day. They know they cannot do anything much. They cannot step out, but they sit and pray. And I think it is because of that there are so many people who are recovering and who are recovering so well. It is in this month, the summer months, which gave so many lessons, silent lessons of life. I remember how in the year 1995, Bhagavan did not go to Kodaikanal. Every year he used to go to Kodaikanal, especially in the month of April, May. He would return in June, he would take a few students and staff. And the reason he would leave is, if he was here, devotees would continue to stay and it would get really hot. He never wanted the devotees to be really inconvenienced. And he would want the students to go home so that they would spend some time with their parents. And that's the reason why he would just go out, just taking a few with him. And the year 1995, when the water project was going on, Swami did not go because his full attention was to ensure that water comes in the taps of 700 villages. Villages who have suffered for hundreds of years. Bhagwan himself did not have an AC in his room till perhaps the last few years of his physical sojourn. In the months of April, May, even when Bhagwan would take the students and go to Kodaikanal, every day in Kodaikanal, every moment that you spend with him, as you watch him, as you live with him in close quarters, you see in action what it is when Bhagwan says, start the day with love, fill the day with love, spend the day with love, end the day with love. This is the way to God. This is how God lived when he took on a human form. Let me take you to the Kodaikanal journey of 1996 from the journal of one of the students who was part of that blissful Odessi. And that year was a little special in the way that Bhagwan not only took his students, but he also took a few sevadals who were called monkey boys. So in Bhagwan's residence in Trey Vrindavan, there are so many trees surrounding this beautiful lotus abode. And there were a few sevadals who guarded the people who came to Bhagwan's residence from the fun that the monkeys used to have. They used to ensure that the monkeys do not have too much fun and the people should not get too scared at times. So they were the ones who were managing these monkeys. So they would do it in a manner that they don't hurt the monkeys. At the same time, the people who come for Bhagwan also do not get scared. And Swami used to call them monkey boys. So Swami took these monkey boys also along with him. In fact, as I narrate this, the incident that comes to my mind is how one day when these monkeys were creating a little fun game there in the garden of Trey Vrindavan, Bhagwan asked one of the students to go and get groundnuts. And when this brother got a fistful of groundnuts, Swami took these groundnuts and placed them on his palm, and he opened his palm. And then he looked at these restless monkeys, and then he indicated them to come. And the monkeys fell into a single file, in a single line. Each monkey came one by one and they took one groundnut from Bhagwan's palm and quietly went back to their trees. And it happened for all the monkeys who were there, one by one. You could see how the monkeys were absolutely steady. They had become straightened with the love and the presence of Bhagwan. And that's what happens to our monkey mind, isn't it? Once you place your monkey mind at the lotus feet of the Lord, however distracted it may be, however confused, however restless it may be, however scared it may be, it finds solace, it finds strength. You draw from the divine hand energy in the presence of the divine. Discipline happens automatically to the mind. And that was such a beautiful demonstration of how in the presence of the divine, all our waywardness disappears. And that is what students and devotees and these monkey boys experienced as they traveled with Bhagwan to Kodaikanal in this blessed year of 1996. In every Sai student's lifetime, to be blessed to travel with Bhagwan on this Kodai sojourn is their life's crowning moment. One cannot possibly explain the Kodai experience, as words would be inadequate to capture the limitless, unconditional love that one experiences. The eyes would fail to capture the happenings in its entirety. The ears may not be able to capture every word of wisdom uttered by Bhagwan. Your mind may not be able to fathom the intricacies and the subtleties of his acts, the heart may not be able to hold on to all the love that one gets blessed with. So this brother came to know that he is going to be part of the Kodai trip sometime in the month of February in 1996. Generally, every teacher and student across Prashantinilayam and the Brindavan campuses would eagerly look out for any signs of Bhagwan going to Kodaikanal when the month of February approaches. That would be the most discussed topic in the hostel corridor, and everyone would be wondering who is going to be part of this trip this year. What are my chances? Who is going to get that divine visa for this unlimited divine grace? And since in the year 1995 Bhagwan had not gone, there was greater expectation in the year 1996 that Bhagwan would go. And the sessions in Trai Vrindavan would happen after the bhajan sessions, whenever Bhagwan was there in Vrindavan. And Swami would never discuss the Trai trip in open, because it was always a small group who could travel, so Swami would always keep it under the wraps. But one fine day, the hostel warden would call the students who are part of the trip or going to be part of the trip secretly to his room, and he would convey to them to get ready. And when the warden calls you or calls a group of students, you know that it could be either to get a piece of his advice or there is a special message from Bhagwan. And so when this brother went to the warden as part of that group, and when he knew that his name is there in the list of people who are going to be members of Swami's party, he was thrilled. He could not really know how to thank Bhagwan enough. You know, he has heard so much about the sweet memories of all those people who had gone earlier with Bhagwan. And now, with every cell in his body in excitement and twinkle in his eyes, he called up his parents and said, "I'm not going to come this year. Possibly you could plan and come to Kodaikanal so that I can meet you there and share with you Bhagwan's grace." And the only thing that was now there between the Kodaikanal trip and the month of February was the end semester examinations in the month of April. And you know, it's so difficult to focus your mind and study, because all the time you're thinking about the Kodaikanal trip, all the time you're thinking how do I prepare for that trip? You know, what all should I take? What should I do? How is it going to be? What are the different things that I should not miss? And all that. So even for this brother, it was really very difficult to focus. But he knew that it's very important also to study well, because Bhagwan always wanted his students to do well, and if he did not fare well in the exams, again he could displease Bhagwan. So he immediately got a couple of new clothes stitched and started doing everything that he thought would make his trip memorable. And this feeling that getting good marks will make Bhagwan happy, that is what gave him the motivation to study. And he focused and was waiting for March 31st. That's when you have the last day of the examinations. And the moment the final examinations was over, now he was on cloud nine. There's some boys who had to go home because their parents needed them. And the other boys were there as long as they can feast their eyes on Bhagwan till he left for Kodaikanal. And now the monkey boys also were ready. And so the trip to Kodaikanal in the year 1996 started at 5 a.m. and they were all in buses. Bhagwan would be in his car. Swami would travel the entire distance in his car. Only in 1999, Swami for the first time went in a flight half the distance to Kodaikanal. And this brother says, they say that less luggage, more comfort, make travel a pleasure. But once you are going with Bhagwan, you don't know what to take because he arranges everything. He takes care of everything. You don't know what to plan for such a journey. You have never undertaken such a journey before in your life. So he just took a few pair of white shirts and trousers and just waiting for that moment. So at 5 a.m., they were ready for the trip to begin. And even though it is quote unquote a secret trip, but everyone comes to know because everyone is so eager to know and everyone is looking for some signs. People would know because there would be always two, three teachers and some guests who would go before 2-3 days to Kodaikanal to make arrangements to prepare the residence for Bhagwan's visit. And so that's would be that sign. Many people would know that now Swami is going to go, but they would not know when he's going to go. And you know, every day you keep looking out for any signal. And so on that morning, all the students who, the rest of the students who were not going to be part of the trip, they had assembled in front of Trey, and Bhagwan came out early in the morning and as fresh as a beautiful rose, like it happens every day. And the journey started after they performed Arati, and Swami got into the car. All the boys got into the bus. And when they entered the bus, then they saw that the last few rows of the bus were loaded with fruits and snacks and water. I mean, there was so much and such variety in huge baskets, and they were all wrapped like each one was a gift hamper, and all kinds of fruits that you could possibly think of, fruits which are non-seasonal. And that is what is Bhagwan. If you are any time with Bhagwan, it's always only abundance. There is nothing that you will ever want. Before you want anything, it is always there. And the people on the roads were shouting, Jai Bolo Bhagwan, Jai Satya Sai Baba Ki, Jai Sai Ram, Maharaj Ki Jai. And Bhagwan would often, you know, slow down the car, and Swami would bless these devotees on the either side of the road. Swami, being as gracious as ever, he would always fill the hearts of these devotees who were waiting for that car darshan, for that one glance of him inside the car, to treasure in their heart. And the car and the bus would go together. Sometimes they would become little apart, and the senior students in the bus would look after the juniors, and they were told that you can eat whatever you want. And you know, with all those food and that aroma coming from the food, it's really difficult to not be tempted to eat. But the boys would do bhajans through the way. And there are some boys who were very good in playing instruments, so they would start their music sessions. And so in this trip of 1996, their first stop was in Salem in Tamil Nadu, where Bhagwan was expected to give darshan in a marriage hall. And that was also supposed to be the lunch break. The distance from Vrindavan to Salem is around 200 kilometers. And so after this 4 hours of journey in the bus, there was this break. And all through the journey, it was a very smooth ride because all the clearances on the road were done. Wherever Bhagwan's car slowed down or stopped, there were so many devotees, and they had organized different pandals, and they were singing bhajans, and they were hoping Bhagwan would come and bless them. And Swami would often do that also many times. He would get down the car and bless these devotees. And for the brothers who were part of, it's really a sheer joy. It's really so humbling when you see the love that people have for Bhagwan, and how they would be standing there in hot sun for that one glimpse of Bhagwan, and you would see like, what is that attraction? You know, what is that? And unknown people, people of all kinds, villagers to VIPs, everyone longing for that one moment where their eyes meet his eyes. And as Bhagwan reached Salem, and there were this arrangement which were made in a marriage hall for all the devotees with the boys to have the lunch, and Bhagwan's car stopped at the entrance of the hall, and bhajans were going on in this darshan hall, and there were red carpets that were laid down for Bhagwan as he walked towards the darshan hall, and the bhajans were going on for very long. People were been waiting for several hours for a glimpse of him. It was jam-packed with devotees on both sides. And as this brother says, you know, my eyes really welled up in tears because I saw this beautiful love exchange between Bhagwan and the devotees. You don't to have darshan of Bhagwan, you have to look at the eyes of these devotees. In every eye you could see Sai. And that darshan simply moves you. So Swami sat there for a while, and then he asked for aarti. And after that he just walked in the dining hall, and where all these arrangements were made. And once the food was served to everyone, then Brahmarpanam was done. And as always, Bhagwan ate so little. He walked in the rows where all the boys were eating and the devotees were there. And Swami would always pull someone's leg if someone was fat. Swami would tell the people, no, serve him more. That will not be enough for him. So the boys and the devotees, they had good feast for the stomach and feast for the eyes, for every organ, every sense of your body, every sense organ was satiated with his love. And then the journey resumed. Boys got into the bus, and Bhagwan started. The distance from Salem to Kodaikanal is another good 250 kilometers. And in this, 60 kilometers consisted of hairpin bends in the mountains. And with all the boys, their stomach full, many of them just dozed off. And by the time the journey to the mountain began, the weather also had changed dramatically from scorching heat to cool breeze now. Breeze with eucalyptus and pine trees. The eucalyptus aroma fills, and it gives you so much of healing energy. And Bhagwan's car was well ahead of the boys, and there's no way the bus could keep up with Bhagwan's car. So by the time the students reached Kodaikanal, it was 6:30 p.m. And as they entered Sai Shruti, Bhagwan's divine abode there, there were no devotees around. The ashram gates were closed because it was all, Bhagwan had already reached and people had darshan and they had gone back. So the boys understood that Swami has already reached and he must have retired. So they just got down from the bus and they were waiting for instructions to go and keep their luggage. And as they stepped into Sai Shruti, to their surprise, they saw that there was Bhagwan standing there at the entrance of the door. Swami said, I've been waiting for you for the last 1 hour. How can I retire without you all coming and making sure that you are safe? I mean, That is what is Bhagwan. When he's a host, he would beat anyone in taking care of his own. And that is what you see in Kodaikanal. You are in Bhagwan's house and he would tell you how you should look after the ones who are with you, who are your guests. So Swami also, even though he had journeyed the entire day, given darshan and everything, but he was there. Swami was telling the boys, "No, all of you must be tired. You must first eat, go take, eat well, and then you rest." And you felt like telling Swami, "Swami, we are fine. We are so young. You should go and take rest, Swami." But that is not how Bhagwan is. And Swami would wait. He would wait till the boys had food and they rested, and then he'd say, okay, I will see you tomorrow. Rest well tonight." And only when the boys went for their rest did Swami go upstairs to his room. And what a sumptuous dinner again it was. Again with sweets and fruits, food would always be delicious, just like every moment is, because everything has to be perfect when you are with Bhagwan. He would treat you like princess. And the boys had the opportunity to stay in the same house where Bhagwan also stayed, and there's some boys who would have the opportunity to sleep just outside Bhagwan's room. It's basically the same floor, same roof, everything is same. You're just sleeping just outside his room. And as you wind up every day, you have experienced so much that you have to really pinch yourself to believe that, is it really real? Are you really living under the same roof with God? And you are so silent also because there is so much to absorb. There is so much to assimilate. And every day you would see things from a different perspective. As his brother says, "I don't know among the 8 billion people in this world, why and how did I get this opportunity?" Every day as you wake up, you search to see him because you are just living with him. And every day as you open your eyes, he is there physically in front of you. And 6:36, Swami would come out, and many a time Swami's concern would be always on the devotees. Swami would part the curtains and Swami would look at the devotees who are waiting, and Swami would say, "Look at them. Papam, they have come in this biting cold. They have come so early in the morning and they are waiting for me." Swami's concern would always be on the devotees. And he would ask the students to go for a walk. And Swami would say, "All of you go for a walk." And especially the ones who had put on little weight, Swami would say, you do extra rounds today. Swami would tell the boys and joke with them. And Swami would say, "Now I will go for darshan. When you guys go for a walk, I will go and spend time with the devotees." And that is how Kodaikanal days would begin with Bhagwan. When you see right from morning till evening, even though Swami is spending the time with the students and guests, but his mind would always be on the devotees. And for the devotees, that darshan is something that they would not get anywhere, because you are watching the most magnificent form anyone can ever have, and you are watching it in the lap of nature. You have the best of nature. You have the best of the divine in human form. And you can see that outpouring of Bhagavan's compassion to the devotees there. And that is the reason why the people who have watched Bhagavan and seen him in Puttaparthi, Vrindavan and Kodaikanal would say that Kodaikanal is his playground. Puttaparthi is his office, Vrindavan is his home, but Kodaikanal is his playground. But he would just be so, he would sort of let his hair down, as they say. The kind of proximity, the kind of opportunity that you got there, you would find it difficult to get that in Puttaparthi or Vrindavan. And every day he would give discourse. Every day there would be the message, and the message would be interlaced with so many beautiful anecdotes and examples and materializations. Swami would create amazing things to convey a point in a discourse. As you see Bhagavan's schedule in Kodaikanal, evenings were spent with the devotees. He would give the discourse. Morning he would give darshan. Evening he would give darshan. And between that, he would spend time with the students. But what was he doing when he was spending time with the students? He was constantly speaking to them about the scriptures, speaking to them about his own life, speaking to them about early devotees, speaking to them about Tyagaraja, about Meera, about Sakubai. 1 year, Bhagavan created a beautiful statue of Buddha, and it was made from the mud of Lumbini, Swami said. Lumbini is the birthplace of Buddha, which is in Nepal. And Swami said, this Buddha is made from the mud of Lumbini. And it was a beautiful red little Buddha. And Bhagavan went on to talk about the sacred life of the Buddha. So that is how every moment in Kodaikanal would be blessed with such terrific memories that you can recollect any number of times, and every time it will fill you with renewed energy. And this brother who has chronicled some of his moments of Kodaikanal trip of 1996 also is a very good violin player, and he would write one chapter and then he would play a bhajan expressing what he felt.
Thank you.
Going back to this brother's journal, there are so many instances that he has documented, and one thing that comes to my mind, what he has narrated, is how he saw Bhagwan in every act would be so meticulous. He had seen Swami materialize several rings and other objects, and all these things that came from the Sai Love store, every time he materialized them, the size would always be perfect for the finger size of the devotee. Sometimes, even if it was small or big, Swami has to just put it, and once he puts it, it would become the perfect size. And Swami would say, is it the right size? During one of these sessions in Kodaikanal, Bhagwan materialized 3 watches for a devotee's 3 children. And all these 3 watches were looped into one big watch. And all the students, they saw in astonishment how beautiful these watches were. And the devotee was moved to tears in gratitude. And each one was a perfect size for each of his children. And apart from that, Swami would, every day it would be a distribution spree, because that is what Bhagwan is. He just loves giving, and he would just keep giving every single day. I don't think there would be any day in Kodaikanal when Swami would have not given something. So it could be clothes to, it could be gadgets to, it could be fruits to, it could be sweets to, it could be photographs to, it could be so many things. And you would always see that whenever he distributed something, there was never a shortage. There was never a shortage. And it would always be there for everyone. It would always be the right number. His brother shares one beautiful incident that happened in Thrai during his student days. Swami had sent word for some of the students to come inside Thrai Bundavan to do seva. And it so happened that one of the devotees had desired to stitch robes for Bhagwan, and Swami had agreed to accept. So this devotee had brought various fabric for Bhagwan to choose from, and it was really beautiful to watch Bhagwan pick and choose the cloth for his robe. And among the people who were inside Thrai, there was another devotee, and they came to know that that person was the one who had stitched Bhagwan's clothes. So he was Swami's tailor. So he was that fortunate tailor who had the opportunity to stitch his robes for many years. So Swami was very sweetly asking that tailor about his job and how he should stitch the rope. And then Swami said, see, don't give too much gap between the buttons. People tend to peep into my robe if there is a lot of space in between. So keep the perfect gap between the buttons. And that is how Bhagwan's robes were stitched, without too much gap in the buttons. And it's a very, very small incident. But this brother says, it just told me how Bhagwan was so perfect about every little thing of the divine life and mission. Whether it was that insignificant size of his robe, the distance between the robe buttons, or the mammoth super speciality hospital construction, everything had to be done in the perfect way. And what you always watched when you were with Bhagwan was how much he loved when the people who needed were served. Every year during the Ishwarama Day, there would be this Narayan Seva organized in Kodaikanal. And Bhagwan would supervise that entire operation. The students would be serving. There would be paper plates made with food. The boys would be distributing the food to all the people. There would be clothes distribution, and Bhagwan would personally give the clothes to every person. And there was this special year where after the whole morning Bhagwan had spent giving food and clothes to everyone, Bhagwan came in and he said that I am thirsty. And when a teacher offered a glass of water to Bhagwan, Swami said, no, no, no. And Swami just got up and Swami indicated something to his driver. And when the car was brought, Swami got into the car and Swami went out. And he did not come for the next 45 minutes. And when he returned, finally, now he was happy and he sat in the chair, he occupied his chair, and then he said, ah, now I am fine. Now my thirst is quenched. And when later, when the students tried to find out what had happened, Bhagwan had stepped out and Swami was going to every corner of Kodaikanal and distributing blankets to all the people, old people, sick people who could not come to Sai Shruti to receive those blankets from him. He was going to their homes, their doorsteps, and distributing in the cold place like Kodaikanal. A blanket is a boon. And Swami was doing that. And after he had ensured that everyone has been so blessed, everyone has received the gift, did he come back, and now his thirst was satiated. So that is what is Bhagwan. That is what you would never know once you live with him, once you see him every day. That is when you will experience what it is to live a life where love is selflessness. Swami always said love is selflessness. So that is something that every moment we see in Bhagwan, every moment we need to learn and imbibe in our lives. And in these times when there are so many people who need help, let us be little inspirations of Sai love. Let us, like Bhagwan, make our hearts like sponge and do whatever we can to bring a smile, to offer little solace, to grant a little courage, to light a little hope, to hold a tear, and to lend a shoulder. Let us do everything we can and not feel that, oh God, where is Swami? Let us feel that it is Swami. It is Swami who is there, who is taking care. Otherwise, I would not be speaking. You would not be listening. And this world still would not be our home. So, dear listeners, we'll continue this in the coming episodes. Possibly I will share with you some more beautiful reminiscences of being with Bhagwan in Kodaikanal. And even as we listen to this, we will see how we can internalize these beautiful lessons that Bhagwan has given us and makes our life also as sylvan, as pristine, as sacred as he wants us to be. Thank you so much. Sayonara.